This morning, I'm going to continue in our Christmas-oriented, focused messages today in our series that I've entitled Season of Wonder, Season of Wonder today. And we'll be reading from the book of Luke, chapter 2. The focus of the message today, as well as this week during our midweek Advent series, is the word joy. Everybody say joy. How many of you sometimes wake up in the morning and you just know, I could use a touch from God's joy this morning? Amen? Amen. And so today I want to talk to us about joy, the joy of the Lord. I want to pray for families today to receive God's joy. Did you know that this time of year can be the most joyful time of the year, but for a lot of people, it's also a dreadful time of year. There's a lot of pressure. There's a lot of stress associated with this time of year. We're doing battle against those tendencies right now. But today I want to talk to you about joy. And what a good looking congregation this morning. Everyone looks so good. Good morning to everybody. Good morning, you guys over here up in the balcony and in the corners this morning. God bless you all over here on this side. God bless you guys. Back there, I see. God bless you guys back there. God bless you guys online today, checking in either today or in a future time. We're so glad that you're here to receive the word of God and pray that something blesses you today, inspires you to pursue the presence of Jesus. Because how many realize, man, it's all about Jesus. Amen. Thank God. Luke chapter 2, 8 through 13. Part of the story that we always read during this time of the year. Now, there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them. And the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David, a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign for you. You'll find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." I think about this moment in history and the way the word describes what happened here. It just kind of blows us away because as soon as the announcement of Christ's birth was made, the Bible says a multitude of heavenly hosts just showed up with shining glory and began to give God glory and praise. Could you imagine the praise service that day? I bet there was some joy in that service. What do you think? Y'all pray with me. God, I love you, Father. We love you and thank you for our opportunity this morning to share together in your word. Father, I just pray for families today, men, women, and children. God, I pray that you will just flood our lives. Baptize us today in the joy of the Lord this morning, God. Lord, joy goes right along with this season. Lord, but for many, they have a hard time finding your joy. God, I pray you stretch us, that you mold us, that you challenge us today to find our joy in the presence of Jesus and by your word. God, because we love your word, we rely upon your word, and we need your word today. In Jesus' name, we pray together. Amen. 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 God bless you guys. This week, we had an incredible opportunity to participate in Loxley Gives, which is our annual benevolence program for families at Christmas. Take a look at these photos. And I want to say thank you so much to the teams that came out yesterday. Amazing people came yesterday to serve and these wonderful families. Church, you really provided Christmas for dozens of kids yesterday right here on campus. And so I want to say thank you so much in our stewardship impact moment today to let you know that you met needs, you made a difference, and thank you so much for providing gifts and giving and service. Guys, great job. Come on, let's give God praise for our chance to meet needs this Christmas. Thank you so much, church. and God bless you all. Now, joy of the Lord. Everybody say the joy of the Lord. Let's go back to this field for just a few moments. Because among the imagery of this season, we frequently see this picture of the shepherds tending their flocks out on the outskirts of Bethlehem. And they're unaware that their lives were about to be woven into this historical account of this incredible sacred moment where joy would burst forth from the heavens, announcing the birth of Jesus the Savior. And as those shepherds watched over their sheep that night, an angel just appeared, shining with heavenly glory. And those angels made an incredible proclamation. They said, "Don't be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people." This morning, let's consider that profound statement, the significance of those words. Great joy for all the people. The joy announced on that holy night, it transcends all of your earthly circumstances. It's not a joy that is contingent upon fleeting moments of happiness, as so many of us are reliant upon those moments to draw us into happiness and joy. No, it's not that kind of joy. It's a spiritual joy. It's a condition of life that is anchored in the eternal promise of Jesus showing up and providing salvation for me and you. Thank God. Are you able to find joy in your salvation this morning? It's the kind of joy that extends to every soul. It overcomes boundaries. It embraces the broken. It encourages the weary. And it reaches the lost. It's amazing joy. That's why I'm focusing today and this week on joy. And when we think about the simplicity of a shepherd's life, if we really get our minds wrapped around who these people were, we can see that there's a profound truth to discover. And I'm going to drop this on us right here, right now. Remember this. God's joy is not reserved for the powerful or the prosperous. Let me say it once again. The kind of joy that Jesus gives is not reserved for the powerful and the prosperous. No, his joy is a gift freely offered to every person who's willing to receive it. Aren't you glad about it this morning? Those shepherds were probably humble and unassuming people, yet they became recipients of the greatest message of joy that has ever been spoken in the history of creation. And that message was this: hey, finally, the Savior is born. It's a reminder to us this morning that real joy can find its home in the hearts of those who approach life with this kind of humility and a childlike openness to wonder and to explore and believe in what God can do. Are you believing this morning in what God can do? The presence of Jesus should always be synonymous with an outpouring of joy. Amen. What does that mean, Pastor Brandon? It just means that when you are committed to lift up the name of Jesus, joy should follow you in your life. Can y'all receive that this morning? Think of that moment in that field. The angels, unable to contain their joyful exuberance, they joined together, praising God, proclaiming peace on earth to those on whose favor God rests. And the shepherds, compelled with overwhelming joy of the holy birth announcement, began to hurry to witness this extraordinary baby lying in a manger who would be the embodiment of true joy wrapped in swaddling clothes. Praise God. Just like those shepherds, church, this morning, in our own lives, in my life and in your life, it's God's joy. God's joy causes us to stretch our faith. It causes us to journey beyond that mundane, that humdrum, that monotonous life of an existence into the world around you and compels you to seek out the extraordinary. Joy enables us to expect great things from God. Think about it this way. The joy of the Lord is our call to embrace the miraculous. Right in the midst of the ordinary and humdrum life, to recognize that the birth of Jesus is not just some distant historical event, but the birth of Jesus is a living reality, church, that can still unfold in our hearts and in our lives even today. Please get a hold of it. This kind of joy is not a fleeting emotion, but the joy of the Lord is an abiding presence. It's your source of strength that can sustain you through life's trials and all of life's uncertainties. Listen, you're going to navigate some complexities and some uncertainties in this life. And as you do, I urge you this morning to echo the spirit of the shepherd's response to the Lord, to the announcement that the presence of Jesus is here. Look what they did in Luke 2:20. The Bible says this: "Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen as it was told them." Praising God, glorifying God, praising God, glorifying God. Is anybody with me this morning knowing that God alone is worthy of our best praise? It's what they did. In other words, church, joy is not meant to be a passive experience. It is our appropriate response to the revelation of the presence of Jesus in our lives. Reminds me of the old preacher who once told his congregation, "If you're saved, somebody please tell your face." The appropriate spiritual response to the presence of Jesus in our life is abiding joy in our life. It's like a song. It's a song that resonates in our hearts. It's like a melody that is flowing deep down underneath the content of our lives, transforming the rhythm of how we live and how we expect things to happen. We need to allow that kind of joy, the kind that was proclaimed on that sacred night, to be like fuel and like fire for your journey every single day. Can y'all receive that right now? Somebody's already thinking, "But Pastor, too much is going wrong in my life for me to have that kind of joy each and every day." Well, let me tell you something. Just like the shepherds' joy that they expressed that night, their joy can be like a blueprint for joy in your life. It's a life that's anchored in the love of God. It's characterized by humility, by great childlike faith and wonder, by an unwavering trust in the presence of God. Hey, listen, even though something might not be going right, if you've got the joy of the Lord in your life, you're able to transcend that mindset and that attitude and say, "You know what? I may not be having everything going my way right now, but I know in whom I believe, and Jesus causes me to have joy in the midst of my trials." His presence is still so real. So when we reflect upon the joy of the old holy night, we need to let his presence become like a wellspring of hope, a wellspring of inspiration in our life, compelling us to live with our hearts wide open to the things of God, embracing the extraordinary, embracing the incredible joy of the Lord that's found in the presence of Jesus. Come on, somebody. Can you receive it this morning? I want to answer the question for just a moment. How does Christ bless your life with great joy? Let's answer that question. Oh, there are countless ways that Jesus gives you joy, but I want to focus on just a three for a moment. If he's changed you, church, from the inside out, there are some ways to view his joy in your life. Number one, he blesses you with joy in your new relationship with God's Spirit. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22 and 23 says this: "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law. The Apostle Paul, right here in Galatians 5, outlines the fruits of the Spirit. And joy is right there on this list. Did you know that sometimes people don't understand that joy is a fruit of God's Spirit residing in you? And that means that these particular people are constantly looking for some kind of outward stimulus to create joy in their life. Oh, it ought not be so for the believer, church. If you're born again today, the Bible says you've got the Holy Spirit dwelling inside of you, and part of having the Spirit within you is the ability to have His joy activated and to come through your life. It's called bearing the fruit of the Spirit. And some people haven't learned about that yet, but I'm telling you this morning that if you raise your hands and look to God and you put your trust in the Lord, don't let the enemy, don't let the world, and don't let people trick you into thinking that you don't have a supernatural resource of joy on the inside that's made available to you by the source of the Holy Spirit. True joy is not merely a fleeting emotion that comes when everything is going your way. No, joy is a natural occurrence for the believer, cultivated by the Holy Spirit in your life. This is what the presence of Jesus does in your life. When you nurture that spiritual quality of His joy in your life every day, He causes joy to become your natural response to people, to the world, even to the circumstances. Watch closely on this. Even to the circumstances which try to get you to trade in your joy for something else. Have y'all realized yet, guys, that maybe you've noticed this. Have you noticed that sometimes people will try to get you to trade your joy for whatever it is they got? How many of y'all know what I'm talking about right there? People will come into your life and try to trade whatever it is they've got on their inside for what you got on your inside. Sometimes people will try to cause you to trade in your joy for worry. They will even try to get you to take their anger for your joy. Has anybody ever tried to trade you some anger? Come on. How many people can say, well, I've had plenty of people give me anger before. Come on. Yeah, it happens from time to time, doesn't it, church? I've got to give you some instruction on that, and this might be too practical for us today, but let me get real spiritual about that. Just don't make the trade. What do you mean? You just decide right now that the Spirit of God within you and the presence of Jesus in your life enables you to decide that those people can just keep what they have on the inside because you're going to keep what you've got on the inside. What is that going to look like? Well, they're going to get a double dose of whatever it is they're trying to give you. How many realize that now? You know, people will get mad when they realize they can't make you mad. I'm just being real about it right now. They'll try to give you the anger, give you the burden, give you the worry. But listen, let me give you some equipment right here, right now. Because you're born again and walking with the Spirit of God indwelling you, you've got a source and a spiritual fire within you that says, you know what? I don't have to take that junk from you. I don't have to be ill affected by the world and its news and its garbage and its mess in my life. I refuse by the power of the living God to trade in what Jesus died to secure for me for all the junk and the worry and the burden and the anger that you're trying to put on my life. No, won't take it. Will not take it. There's no way to academically get that through to us. You cannot teach somebody. This is a matter of faith right here. And if you've got faith in Jesus and what He's done in your life, you can reject all of the garbage and the anger because you've got something churning, a song playing underneath that allows you to stand up with squared shoulders and get bold about it and say no to the enemy and no to the world and no to the people that want to drag you down. Christ blesses your life with joy and enables joy to blossom as a natural outgrowth of your life rooted in the presence of Jesus. That's why it's so vital that we come in here every time the doors are open as a local family of believers with the full-on intent to touch God, to encounter the living God, to don't let up until we know that God has heard from us and we have heard from Him. Because the presence of Jesus is what's going to make all the difference in your life, in your family, on your job, in the marketplace, and in your church. If we're not in hot, passionate pursuit of the presence of Jesus, why are we here? He blesses your life with joy. When you go after Him, He comes after you. Anybody receive it today? Number two, He blesses your life with joy in your new freedom in Christ. Come on, everybody say freedom. Freedom in Christ. Still in Galatians 5, amazing instruction. Apostle Paul wrote, he said, stand fast. Therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made you free, and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. 5:1 in the NIV, Paul said it like this. He said, it is for freedom that Christ has set you free. Joy, it flourishes in the freedom found in Jesus Christ, liberating us from those chains of religion and chains of legalism, chains of self-reliance. Church, when you embrace the grace of God, when you recognize that your salvation is a gift given to you by Jesus. It's Jesus' gift to you. It's not something that you've earned through your efforts. When you realize that His salvation is His gift to you, you will begin to experience an amazing sense of joy and freedom in your life. This freedom, it allows you to live authentically. Please listen carefully. Unburdened by the weight of performance. That's what the scripture is all about. Unburdened by the weight of performance. It comes not from mastery of religion, not from mastery of your gifts or your calling or mastery of anything else, not even by how good you're able to be on your own power. But that condition of being unburdened by the weight of performance in your religious circles comes when you receive salvation as a free gift from Jesus Christ, and you can walk around knowing that it has nothing to do with what you did and everything to do with what He did. Just try and try to sap the joy out of a person who knows when they wake up in the morning that they're saved because Jesus saved them, not how good they've been yesterday. Come on. There's joy and freedom right there. Can y'all receive it today? Unburdened by the weight of performance. And it'll help you foster a deep spiritual joy that'll sustain you through your trials and your uncertainties. Joy. Come on, somebody. Are you able to receive joy this morning? Number three, He blesses you with joy in your new life of love and service to others. What He does. Pastor Brandon, you mean that now that I'm born again and Jesus has changed me, I'm supposed to love everybody? How thoroughly am I expected to love everybody? Well, Jesus said it this way: love God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. And serve one another. Still in Galatians 5. What an amazing scripture, verse 13. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. Notice Galatians 5:13 gives us the instructions to love and serve one another in love. Church, I'm going to make this statement because you've tried it and I've tried it. Consistently loving everybody and serving everybody is not something that can be done consistently without the presence of Jesus in your life. I've tried it. You have too. Have you noticed that joy is often discovered in selfless acts and service to other people? That's why he told us to do it. When we emulate Jesus' example of love and sacrifice and service, church, you'll begin to tap into a brand new source. It's like a wellspring of joy. It goes beyond personal satisfaction. When you serve with a compassionate heart, inspired by the Spirit of the living God, it'll flood your life with fulfillment and joy. I've tried this many times. Let me tell you this. Here's a secret. Let me give y'all a secret weapon right here for finding instant joy in your life. You can try it this week. Find some way to serve somebody else and don't tell them about it. Don't be like the person who does something good and then chomps at the bit until they can tell somebody that they did it. Y'all know anybody like that? Just find something good to do in the name of Jesus for somebody else. And just go to bed at night knowing that you and Jesus are the only two people that know. You'll experience an instant fulfillment and joy in your life, a renewal of joy. It's an amazing thing. You'll do a great work. That's serving with a compassionate heart, inspiration from the Spirit of God. You'll be flooded with joy in your life. It's what Jesus does. All these traits of joy, they're wonderful. They're a result of his coming, but as you well know, church, maintaining the joy of the Lord can be a tremendous challenge. If you're going to live right there in the middle of his joy, day in and day out, it means that you're going to have to abide in the joy of Jesus. I want to answer this question real quick. How can I really abide right there in the joy of the Lord? Come on, y'all getting this morning, guys? I want you to lean in because I know you. I know your prayers are similar to my prayers. You want your spouse and you want your children to come to rely upon you as a source for God's joy. You want your co-workers to see a consistent, sustainable example of God's joy. Why? So that your witness remains effective for Jesus. You want your day to begin and end in God's joy and to never be dependent upon circumstances to give you your joy. And above all else, you want God's joy to flood your life, oh, come on, so that you're never dependent upon another person to give you your joy. Because let me help us right there. He ain't God. I said he ain't God, and she ain't either. Come on, somebody. It's not his or her responsibility, calling, or job to give you your joy. We're only supposed to obtain that kind of joy from Jesus. Come on, somebody. Can you say a good amen? How can these things happen? How can I really abide in the joy of the Lord? Well, we have to focus on what Jesus said. Please watch carefully. I'm almost done today. He said in John chapter 15, "These things I've spoken to you that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full." The kind of joy that I'm talking about today, guys, it's going to be cultivated in your life when we learn to honor the Lord, honor him with our thoughts, honor him with our decisions, honor him with our actions. He said, "This is the reason I've come. I've spoken these things to you because I want two things to happen. I want your joy to be full, and I want my joy to remain in you." When we honor him every day, it's because we know that we cannot live and decide and speak and communicate and think in ways that diminish his work on the cross by living with less joy than he came to deliver to us. It's his will that your life be filled with joy. Can anybody get a hold of that right now, guys? And he went all the way to the cross to secure this condition for you. I found this amazing Very interesting image. Take a look at this image just for a moment, guys. I want you to see this. It really shows us something unique. Notice you'll see Mary and Joseph on the trek to Bethlehem. Mary and Joseph in the background, overlooking and kind of enjoying the baby Jesus. But what I want to point out is this. When Mary and Joseph were on the way taking the baby Jesus to be born in Bethlehem, this picture really depicts where he was heading. He was heading to the cross. Can y'all see this, guys? He's heading to the cross. This Christmas season, every time you see a manger, every time you see baby Jesus, every time you see shepherds and wise men and animals encamped about a manger, we cannot lose the concept that baby Jesus was born in that manger for a purpose. And that purpose was to grow up, live a sinless life, to willfully surrender his life to death on that cross, so that you and I could be changed from the inside out and reconciled to our Heavenly Father. Jesus would have us to find joy in this truth. It's a statement that unveils his dimension of joy. That scripture from John 15 really needs an explanation pertaining to the context of the scripture. Sometimes that chapter is referred to as the vine and branches discourse. In it, Jesus said, "I am the vine, you are the branches." He said, any branch in me will bear fruit and bear much fruit. Thank God. What does that mean for us today? It means that our connection to him is vital. It's absolutely necessary for bearing the fruit of joy in our life. And as we abide in Christ, we'll stay intimately connected through prayer, through reading his word, through our surrendered heart. And when we do, his joy will permeate our life. Hear me. It's not like worldly happiness. Worldly happiness depends on external circumstances. But Christ's joy in our life is like an undercurrent of spiritual flow. It's there regardless of what's taking place all around us. He's abiding. He's not coming or going based on whether or not everything is okay. Finally, I want you to see this last scripture. Jesus is the author and perfecter of your joy. True joy comes from him. Hebrews 12 and 2. Looking unto Jesus, a stark reminder of why he came in Mary's manger. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Season of wonder. My prayer this morning for every person, every family, moms, dads, aunts, uncles, G-Pauls and G-Moms. First of all, that you'll find joy in the Lord. But right here in the crux of this busy, overgrown, nonstop, expensive season, when everything around you trying to get you to trade your joy Today, let us embrace the gift of Jesus and allow the Lord to flood our lives with new joy. Can we do that today, guys? Will you bow your heads for just a moment? The life that I'm describing today, a life of hope and joy and freedom, begins at the moment of belief in Jesus. Begins when you go to Him and put your heart in His hands. And you may be here this morning and you're a long way off from God. If you're here this morning and you're really struggling and you're wondering if you can have peace of God and joy in your life, the answer is yes. Jesus came and gave His life so that you could have peace and live and walk in the joy of the Lord every day. Regardless of the things that have happened to you, regardless of the things that are happening around you, but it begins when you place your heart in His hands. I'm inviting you today to become a believer, to finally believe that He has the power to forgive you of all your sins and give you a fresh start. What's taking place right now, if God's Spirit is drawing you to the Lord, He's causing you to finally make that decision to come to Christ. It's nothing that I can say or do to coerce you or try to convince you. It has nothing to do with me. It has everything to do with God's work and His Spirit calling you. So right now, if I can pray for you, will you just, with nobody looking around, just slip up your hand. Thank you. I see both, all three of those hands. I see that hand. See that hand back here. See both of those people coming to the Lord, guys. Thank you, sir. Thank you all for making the decision to follow Jesus today and to believe. Is there anyone else? God, I thank you right now, Lord Jesus, for people deciding to come to you, Lord. We praise you and thank you, Lord, for the inward change that happens upon belief. Lord, your word says, believe on the Lord Jesus and you shall be saved. So Lord, today we thank you for salvation and for renewal and rededication today. And we love you, Father. In the name of Jesus we pray. Will you stand with me, guys, all over the church?
Thank you for joining us online today. We want to connect with you and your family. We would love for you to submit a Connect card on our website or scan the QR code on the screen. Check out the website for more information about everything going on here at Loxley. It would be an honor to pray for you and your family. Leave a comment or share with us something that spoke to you in today's service. We can't wait to see you on campus soon. Reach out to us. We would love to hear from you. We pray that God will bless you and your family. Thank you for tuning in today. See you next time.